Thank you for listening to the Florida Community of Mindfulness's Dharma Talks. I'm Angela Parrish, Executive Director for FCM, and we're very happy to make these talks from our teacher, Fred Epsteiner, available to you. If you find this talk of benefit, please consider making a donation to support us so that we can continue to offer these recordings freely. You'll find a donation button on the talk section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. May you be happy and free from suffering.
Well, thank you for coming here on this beautiful spring day in Tampa. We are very fortunate. So we have the children's program today. So I want to leave a little time for us to talk together about the subject I want to talk about. So I'll do my best to kind of keep that in mind. So in January, we had a four-day retreat here in Tampa. The title was Deconstructing the World of Self, a very Buddhist topic. And during the course of the retreat in one of the Dharma talks, I said something, and numerous people, when we had discussions or other thing, were really struck by those words. So I wanted to talk to you about that. And I believe what I said was, the major cause of our emotional suffering is that the self is always at war with reality. So I want to expand on that this morning because I think it's a subject that is close to all of us. And actually, I did a little Google search, and everybody probably remembers from some point hearing about Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher. He said the only truth is reality. So obviously the Buddha was not the only one to discover that. So the self, reality. These are not, there are many meanings here and different levels of meaning. Obviously Buddhism has a lot to say about self and non-self. But also Buddhism has a lot to say about reality. Because it is in relationship to the self and reality that all our problems, not all life's problems, but all our emotional problems and all our difficulties unfold. So, again, reality, there are many ways to answer the question, what is reality? So just for starters, I'd like to just talk about what might be called consensual reality. Sort of, this is not very profound, sort of the everyday reality we all, that most people, as long as they have their senses and their minds are somewhat intact, would agree on. So for example, would you all agree that we're sitting here in the meditation hall. Consensual reality. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. I'm talking, you're listening, right? I mean, there are certain things, you know, it's a blue sky, there's a tree. I mean, there are certain things about just reality that we would all agree. Another way of looking at a reality is the facts, right? And I was born here, and there, and then these were my parents, and this is where I went to school, and these are my third grade teachers, and this is what happened to me when I was seven. But facts, right? Reality. Is everybody clear? Consensual reality. Now, many people do not live in consensual reality. Many of us here don't live in consensual reality, which is so obvious and simple. But we live in what? Our thoughts about reality, our ideas about reality, our perceptions about reality. So our ability to kind of even deal with reality is clouded by all these obscurations of our mind. And that's where we get into trouble. So for those of you who just went through the meditation, one of the things I said about one of the wonderful things about mindfulness practice is we're learning the capacity just to be present and not to have our experience always filtering through our thoughts, our ideas, our conceptions, our memories, our okay? Our prejudices, our everything that we just confabulate in this world. Okay, so we learn. Oh, I'm just sitting here. Reality. I'm breathing. Reality. My body has sensations. Reality. Thoughts are arising and passing. Reality. There's a sound out there. Reality. We're learning just to come into reality. Is that clear? So, if we're not establishing reality, dealing with reality just will be almost impossible. So that's why one of the first things we do in this tradition is learn to settle down and practice mindfulness of our body, of our breath, of our senses, so we can at least know where we are. What's really happening? Is that clear? So this is just the simple reality, the factual reality of being alive. I got up. I walked from my bed to the bath. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, that's all that happened. Then I went into the kitchen and I made some tea. Oh, that's all that happened. I drank the tea. That's all that happened. Then I went for a walk. That's all that happened. It was cold. Okay? Reality. Is everybody clear what reality is? Just nod your heads. Everything else is extra, right? How the morning went, how the morning didn't go, enjoyed it, didn't enjoy it, that's extra, right? I could be walking around, I could pass somebody in the street, they could be having a totally different experience. True? But the one thing we'd all agree on is, good morning. We're out here walking together, okay? So first step is mindfulness brings us into reality. Now, the Buddha had some significant things to tell us about reality. So, simply practicing mindfulness and meditation, while that's certainly beneficial to bring us into reality, we may still completely misunderstand what's going on because of all our stuff. Everybody know what your stuff is? That's the stuff that's constantly arising in your head that you believe is true. Okay? So, the Buddha called these the four Dharma seals. The four, he says, these are the marks, characteristics fundamental to reality. Okay? The world of things, right? Like, I'm a thing. You're a thing. We're all things. In this sense, we're just things, right? We're physical things. You know, this is a thing. This is a thing. This is a thing. Everything's a thing. The earth is a thing. Okay? These are all things. Now, what about all these things? Well, the Buddha said there are some common characteristics to everything. Right? The first is everything is a composite. Okay? Everything is a composite. Everything is made up of parts. Right? This body, you know, I might say, well, I'm a human being, I have a body and a mind. But this body is just made up of parts. Big parts, smaller parts, parts that are within parts, endless parts, right? You can take it down to atoms. Body's made. Oh, but I'm a mind. Well, what's my mind made of? Thoughts, feelings, perceptions, memories, you know. So, parts. This building, parts. Everything is made up of parts. And those parts are made up of parts, and those parts are made up of parts, and those, okay? So everything is composite, right? In other words, this meditation hall, which was once a church, it wasn't made by a church. There was no thing called a church that made this church, right? Pieces were brought together to create a building that was called a church, but it's just made up of parts, right? We call this the meditation hall. We call this our Dharma center. You take all the parts away, it's gone. Why? Because it's just made of parts. This body is just made of parts. Dissect me, autopsy, just going to be a bunch of parts. Same for everybody else, everything in the world. Okay? So everything's composite. Interesting. Second seal was everything's impermanent. It's another one of these laws. Everything's imperfect. Nothing stays the same. Everything is in flux. Everything is changing, right? Universes, world, earth, climate, me, you, my mind, my body, right? Everything's impermanent. Relationships, I mean, we are constant, you know. Did everybody, from the time they got up this morning to right now, have the same thought? How many thoughts have you had since you got up? I mean, you know, it's right. And that's just a little brief period of time. Mind constantly changing, thoughts. Maybe feelings change, whether you're happy, unhappy, enjoying the day, not enjoying the day, right? Right? Okay? Everything's changing. The world is changing. Every day we read the news. What is really the news telling? The news is all about what? Change. You know, what's changed since yesterday? So everything is changing. Right? And physics and science just has confirmed what the Buddha taught 2,600 years ago. Everything's in motion. Everything is changing. Okay. So everything's composite. Everything is impermanent. Then he also said that, but there, this is not a chaotic universe. He taught the law of cause and effect. Why are things the way they are? Because of prior causes, right? Why am I here? Because of prior causes in my life, blah, 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 right? Why are you here? Because of all, you know, you're here now because of things that happened in the past that have brought you to being here. Why is everybody the way they are? Because of causes and conditions, cause and effect. Why is the climate changing? Cause and effect, right? Why was my father the way he was, and my mother the way she is, and why is Trump like he is, and this one, cause and effect. Everything is happening because of causes and condition, causes and effect. Huh? And the last thing he taught was that because that the nature of reality is that it is made up of parts. These parts are constantly changing and reforming. And because of the way they're unfolding according to causes and conditions, which means they're always subject to change, always subject to change, right? We can go, we can wake up in the morning, can have a great day, and then something happens and we change. The world changes. Universes changes, right? Life changes. But because we don't understand that, he said the fundamental problem with human beings in reality is that their experience of reality is fundamentally unsatisfactory. That there is lots of suffering, pain, dissatisfaction in life. And that is a constant and chronic situations for most people. When things go well, happy. When things don't go well, unhappy. I mean, I can go into that, but this is another fundamental thing. Because things are impermanent. Because we want, because see, we, the ordinary people like ourselves, until we really, understand this deeply, we have a totally different picture of reality, which is what? Things are solid. You're solid. I'm solid. You're you. I'm me. Right? Things are permanent. Things are just going to always stay the same. And that by getting what I want and not getting what I don't want, I will be able to find happiness and satisfaction in this life. So I grasp at it. But because everything is composite and everything is unfolding causes conditions and everything's impermanent, I'm always going to be what? Take a guess. What? Yeah, disappointed, frustrated, scared, worried. So, I want to focus now, this is a lot in the composite, but this is, so it's important that we understand that there is a consensual reality and that this reality is operating according to certain principles. And if we do not understand these principles, we will suffer. If we think things are solid, permanent, and are a source of suffering, a source of happiness, and if I just can grab hold of them, I will endlessly suffer. And what I want to say to you is pretty much you can look at all your suffering in your life from the present to the past and see it is because we have not understood this. And not only do we not understand it, we are at war with reality. Now, what does that mean? So reality is what is. And yet, within our own minds, we rebel. We reject. We fight. Because in our minds, we obviously think that what? Reality should be different than it is. Right? Right? Reality should be different than it is. But unfortunately, reality, whatever we think about it, is still reality. Remember? It's called what? Reality. It's like we kind of miss that one. There's a reason reality is called reality. It's because it's reality. It's real. It's really happening. Our thoughts about reality are not real. They're just our thoughts, our opinions, our ideas. So, whether this war with reality is a personal war or whether it's a global war, it's the same war we are fighting. Right? Reality is everyone in this room had the childhood you had. Anybody disagree with that? I'm trying to keep it very simple. Right? Because we overcomplicate, overthink. Okay? Everybody in this room had the childhood they had. Anybody disagree with that? I want to go through this slowly. Anybody disagree? Okay. Everybody had the childhood you had. Everybody had the mother and father you had. Everybody had all the experiences you had in life. This is what you had. Just want to make sure we're all together on this one. Is anybody not with me? I'm not being patronizing. I'm really going... It's so simple, and yet this is a fundamental fact we miss. Okay? So let's bring it up to the present. Everything that is happening in our life right now is happening. Right? We live where we live. We drive the car. We don't drive the car we have. Our friends are our friends. Our enemies are our enemies. You know. We work where we work. Right? Our children are our children, our parents are our parents, our third cousins are our third cousins. I mean, right? Right now, in the moment, is this not our reality? We have a president. Everybody know who our president is. That's reality. I say that because a lot of people are having a problem with reality these days. Okay? I mean, it sounds weird, but it's really true. We have a president, don't we? Is that reality? Okay, whether we like that or not is what? That's our projecting onto reality because we don't want it. Unfortunately or fortunately, there are an equal number of people, maybe over here, who are very happy with that reality. So over here we go, I like this reality. Over here, they're going, I don't like this reality. Right? There are people here who go, yeah, I had the childhood that I deserved. There may be other people going, no, I didn't deserve the childhood I had. Right? Is that true? And yet the truth is, whether you thought you deserved it or didn't deserve it, whether you thought it was good or bad, wanted or unwanted, it was what? It was reality. It's what happened. Now, we can be at war with that. We can fight against it. We can deny it. We can hang on to it. It can be a source of sadness or anger or fear or whatever. But that's coming from who? Me. The reality is whatever happened, happened. Whatever's happening is happening. Is that true? I mean, it sounds so simple, but this is significant. Think about every emotional issue you have right now in life. We seem to have lost power. So this isn't working. This is my real voice. Oh, okay. What? Oh, so this is the only thing that's working. Well, that's interesting. So this is reality. We don't have power, right? So whether that's a source of fear to us, or whether we, you know, or it's a source of disappointment, or it's whatever drama we want to make about it, the only reality is what? In this moment, we have no power. So, you know, our parents were our parents. What happened to us in our life happened to us in our life. Is that clear? And that's true for everyone in this world. You know, why do we have the problems we have in this world? Causes and conditions. We understand the causes and conditions, we understand what's going on. But the reality is, that's reality. Just spend a moment reflecting on this. Just close your eyes and just reflect on this. Is it true? You know, why do you have relationship problems? Anybody here ever have a relationship problem? Okay? Anybody know about relationship problems? Why does everybody have relationship problems? Think about it. Why do you have relationship problems? Because the person you're in relationship is not who you want them to be. Right? They're not who you want them to be. It's very simple. But reality is what? They are who they are. Is that not true? I mean, keep it simple. Reality is what's real. Right? So our wanting things to be different, our believing things are different, our controlling and endlessly manipulating to make things, you know, make world and people become like we want them to be, is that a source of happiness for you? What? Anybody enjoy that? Okay, let me ask you another question. When somebody does that to you, do you enjoy it? What? Think about it. No. And yet, we endlessly do it. We endlessly obsess about our childhood and what happened, and as if somehow in some alternative universe, everything should have worked out. And I should have had the perfect parents, and everything should have been perfect in my upbringing, and everything. Right? Isn't that true? Isn't that, I mean, I'm just honest. Isn't that what we would like? But the reality is it was what it was. And the truth is, the more we object to reality, fight against reality, the more we suffer. And when we suffer, that's when we act out. That's when we have emotional affliction. That's when we take our suffering and not only impose it on ourselves, we impose it on others. Is that true? So let's talk about this. Because see, many of us think we're a victim of life, right? I'm a victim of my situation. I'm a victim of other people. I'm a victim of my childhood. You know, other times we're constantly at war, fighting, manipulating, doing everything we can to control. We're hurt. Life's unfair. Life's unfair. I have a 5-year-old grandson. That's his latest mantra. He's unfortunately learning it early. He can't get his way all the time. He can't get what he wants all the time. And he's not happy. Now, one would hope by the time, you know, we got a little older, we would have kind of matured a little bit. But unfortunately, many of us are still operating from the same principle that my grandson's operating from. When things don't go our way, when people don't act to us the way we want them to act us and treat us the way we want to be treated and life doesn't give us what we think we deserve, what happens? We suffer. And it's not, we're not suffering from reality. Reality just is what it is. We suffer because of our misconceptions, our false ideas about reality. I mean, is that clear? What if you lived a life where you had no expectations about how reality was supposed to be? How people were supposed to be? What would that be like? Probably for most of us, frightening. We can't even imagine it. You know? It's unimaginable that we would just show up every day and just deal with reality. And we'll talk about there are good ways and healthy ways and unhealthy ways. But like that's our only challenge. How do I just deal with the reality? How do I deal with the things the way they are? With people the way they are? With the world the way it is? How do I deal with that? But we don't even get there because we're what? We're angry. We're hurt, we're resentful, we're scared, we're sad, we despair, we're jealous. I mean, we're right? Why are we jealous? Why are we envious of other people? Because we don't understand. We somehow think, why them, not me? Well, because in reality, they're who they are, and their life is unfolding their way, and you're who you are, and your life is unfolding this way. And that's reality. Isn't it? And yet, this deluded mind of ours, this ignorant mind of ours, projects endlessly onto the world and other people the way we think it should be. Well, why don't we stop a second? And, you know, anybody want to challenge? Please challenge me. Anybody think I've really missed something here? Anybody not clear that this is the source of our suffering and the world's suffering? Right now, our country is suffering because why? Because people with this political belief can't accept that there are other people with another political belief. Right? And people just, you know, whether it's racial issues or gender issues or sexual preference issues or religious issues, it's all about what? That people cannot accept the reality that there are all these people in the world who are not them. I mean, isn't that really what it is? And we think, what? Everybody should be like who? See, do we dare say it? What's the truth? See, in our own little empire that each of us run, our expectation is the world should be just like me. and the world and everybody in it should be operating just like me. According to my values, my ideas, my... Is that clear? And that goes from the tiniest thing to the biggest thing. But what's reality? What's reality about this world and the people in it? We didn't create it, did we? It's not our creation. It's the composite of millions and billions of people, histories, and all kinds of causes and conditions. And how are we ever going to deal with the issues we have if human beings can't at least get together on reality and accept reality and accept the fact that we're all in this reality together? I mean, that's kind of a revolutionary thought. We're all in this together. This is a shared reality. And it really needs an intelligent, wise, compassionate response. But we'll never get there, ever, as long as people are not dealing with reality or dealing only with reality through their thoughts and projections. In Buddhism, we call those kleshas. Kleshas are coverings. That's all the emotional stuff. They're called kleshas. They're coverings. They cover our natural wisdom. They cover our intelligence. They color our objectivity. And just because you're of a certain political persuasion does not mean that you're not as covered by your kleshas as the person who has the opposite. We have a big mess in this world. And as you can see, it's a mess in the world, but it's also a mess in people's lives. We can't accept the reality, right? I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, a young woman, and she was going on about work and, you know, how they do it and how they want her to do it and how she doesn't, you know, it's like... I don't know. I kind of said, so are you the boss there? No. Are there people over you? Yes. Are they very clear with you how they want you to be? Yes. Do you want to keep the job? And it's like, you know, I mean, like, I mean, you don't have to. You know, I would ask you, do you want to keep the job? You know? Yes. Well, if that's true, don't you think going to work with an acceptance of the reality of what's going on and being able to relate to reality in a way that doesn't cause you suffering would sort of be an intelligent response rather than going to work every day angry and, you know, and upset? Because why? Because it's not the way you want it to be. I mean, right? It's not the way you want it to be. That's just one little incident. It goes on all the time. Right? People drive around and they don't like the other drivers. They get angry. Why? Why? Because they're not driving the way you think they should drive. But the reality is, they are driving that way, isn't it? Isn't that reality? And yet, in our own minds, we, in my reality, nobody drives that way, at least without getting a little bit of anger directed at them from me. In Buddhism, anger is considered an afflictive emotion. It doesn't feel good. P- people don't treat us the way we think they should treat us, and people don't say to us the way we think they should say, or people don't say what they should say, or they say what they shouldn't say, or they... Everybody can follow me on that one? And that's the drama of our life. That's what we're thinking about all day. The Buddha called that suffering. Most of us call that, oh, isn't that normal? No. That's not normal. It's unfortunately, it's become normal in our society, but it's not normal. So if we want to kind of have a sound, emotionally meaningful, stable life, we have to accept reality as it is. And then I can hear people going, but does that mean you have to accept everything the way it is? People, situations, the world? Yes, it does. Now, it doesn't mean you can't find meaningful ways to change yourself, situations. Doesn't mean you, it's not passivity. It's mean you start from a place of reality. This is real. This is what's happening. This is the world. This is the other person. This is me. A lot of people, you can't even believe this one. A lot of people have trouble accepting the reality of themselves. Now, I know nobody in here would have that problem. Right? I mean, it was like somebody the other day was going on about how angry they are at themselves. And I tried to follow the logic. So you're angry at yourself for not being who in your imagination you think he should be. Oh, okay. But in reality, this is who you are, right? Yes. Well, don't you think it would be smarter to just kind of accept yourself as you are and live in reality and then go about a process of transformation? But you begin in reality. But most people, then he was beginning with what? Unreality. Some kind of fantasy world of how he should be. But he can't help being who he is because of all his causes and conditions. Where he was born, add it all up, and you get, oh, this is who he is right now. Doesn't mean he can't begin to change. But so, I mean, we all have to begin in reality. Maybe none of us in here are the person we think we should be. None of us have the life we think we deserved. Somebody like me should have never ended up in a life like this. Right? Why not? I mean, it's our life. Causes and conditions have brought us to this moment. That's not a judgment, good, bad, right, wrong, fair, unfair. It's just a statement about reality. Right? Can you see? That unites all of us. The reality is all of us are here where we are in our life because of causes and conditions from the past. Is that true? Anybody think that like space aliens or somebody has been interfering with their life? I mean, now's the time to say it. Let's just get it out. Right? I mean, are we the plaything of the gods? I mean, are the gods still up there playing with us? Do you believe that? You know? So these kind of beliefs we have are that we have to look at. Because a lot of them are kind of crazy. Huh. A lot of problems in the world. Right? It's not the world many of us would like. But it is the way it is. You know, and do you want to approach the world with an open heart, with some wisdom and intelligence and compassion? Or do you want to approach it with anger and judgment? And everybody know what I'm talking about? You know, hatred. People hate each other. because of their beliefs. Because people don't have the same beliefs that I do. They hate each other. And we think we're perfectly justified in doing it, don't we? But unfortunately, there are other people with the diametrically opposite who then hate us. Now what do we have? I mean, what kind of world are we creating with everybody who's got differences hating each other, not talking to each other, disrespecting each other? And whether that's in a relationship of one-on-one, parent-child, child-parent, people in relationship in all ways, colleagues at work, it's all the same. Nations, countries, groups. Anyhow, I'm interested in your questions. I mean, you know, this is very open. You can challenge me. You can, or any questions about what this means for you or life. Yes. And I'm going to have to repeat the question because this is being live streamed. So that, yeah, yeah. But I don't. I won't say your name out loud.
And all like the history of, and the way that that's racialized. To me, it's an unbearable part of reality. And, you know, I think about perpetuate that violence and legitimate that violence and, you know, willingly stick their head in the sand. And
can I just hold it? Because I'm going to lose it. So basically his question is, okay, because I get a lot of feedback and I get somebody up there going, repeat the question. So they're training me up, okay? So it's a good question. The man's saying he looks at the world, the reality of the world, the injustices perpetuated by a lot of the systems of the world and, you know, all the terrible things that are being perpetuated on human beings, and it makes him incredibly angry. And what else? What other emotion comes up? Incredibly angry, hatred, and you despair. Okay. Because you want it to be different.
I don't want to live in sixth extinction.
Okay. But you want it to be different, don't you? You don't want to live in this world the way it is.
No.
And yet the truth is what?
This is the
world. Okay. Stop. There he goes, you see? See, there it is, and you smiled. And yet you know. You see, this is the problem. We are like a train wreck of our emotions. We are addicted to our emotionality, and it's hard to get out of it. And I understand what you're talking about. I mean, people do this just in individual relations, right? They hate the person they used to love. Right? I mean, this is, do you understand, it's the same. Because it shouldn't be this way. People should treat each other kindly. People should be compassionate to one another. People should take care of one another. All these resources in the world, why don't we? Right? I mean, you want me to go on? And yet the truth is what? That's not reality. Reality is what it is. Isn't that true? Well, no. No, I'm not going to let you get away with it. Isn't that true? The reality is what it is. This is what's happening in the world. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where you should be most attentive. This is reality. Okay, now you're getting subjective, right? First, you got to start with reality. This is reality. Okay, right? That's neither good nor bad, right or wrong. There's no stamp of approval. What is your name? Zach. So, you know, to accept reality is not to put your stamp of approval on it. Do you understand? People, oh, no, I can't accept reality. You know, I cannot accept that you just did that. But you did just do that. And I'm over here going, I can't accept that. But it just happened. You know, I mean, it's like reality is reality. Accepting what is real is not approving or disapproving. Is that clear? It's just saying, this is reality. Okay, Zach? Okay, now the question for you is, how are you going to live in a healthy, compassionate, understanding, wise, intelligent way in the reality as it is? That's your challenge, you see? It's a totally different challenge than anger and despair and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, this is the way it is. You know? What do I want to do? Binge watch Netflix? Is that going to be my response to it? Right? You know, pick up an addiction? Is that what I'm going to do to it? Right? Take out my anger and despair on everybody else? Is that what I'm going to do with it? Oh. Or is there another way? What does the world lack? Understanding, compassion, right? Acceptance. Oh. You know, maybe those are the things that I should be cultivating. Those are the healthy emotions I should be cultivating rather than anger and despair and hatred and fear. Okay? You know, like maybe the world has enough of that. You know, Zach, it doesn't need any more from you, does it? What? Does it? No. No, yes, you do. The world has enough anger and despair and insensitivity and indifference. They don't need yours. They need something else. What does the world need? Right? And if you want to make a positive change in this world, why don't you do it from a healthy mind and a healthy emotional set? This is not counseling passivity. But it's saying you begin in reality. Okay? Is that clear? And the question is, how am I going to relate to this reality? Right? Let's say all of a sudden, and we just have to be real. Let's say all of a sudden we find, the world's going to come to an end in 30 days. Right? I don't know if you read the paper this morning. Okay. The world's going to come to an end in 30 days, Zach, okay? Now, are you going to be angry and despairing for the next 30 days? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Help those who are angry and despairing. Maybe that'd be a nice thing to do. Right? Rather than contribute to the anger and despair. See, we have to get, that's why in this community, which we call it a community, we're trying to create another culture. Because the culture out there is all about what? Reactivity and, get angry and disrespectful and hate. Yeah, this is, right? Right? Separate us from them and, that's the culture we're in. It's a sick culture. It's a toxic culture. So we have to create a different kind of culture in how we think about the world and how we think about each other. And it's got to be real. Right? Are we clear? Good. Are there other issues, questions about reality and the... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't turn. Got to remember to turn my head. Sorry about that. Yeah, please ask, whatever. Yeah, go.
I kind of agree with him, but I also think that the reality is complex. Mm-hmm. But the reality is also impermanent, right? Even that toxic reality
is impermanent. Yeah.
So there's psychological
there. It was more like a statement rather than a question. I'm just repeating it for you. Yeah, so the woman, what's your name? Hema was pointing out that, and this again, this is why Buddhism, in the face of such a reality, is always optimistic. Why? Because things are not solid and permanent. Things are caused by causes and conditions. Things are impermanent. Things are just made up of other things. Therefore, right? Whether it's you as a person, no matter how screwed up you think you are, no matter how wounded you think you are, no matter how blah, 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 terrible you think you are, whether you have those same kind of thoughts about the world, the truth is we begin with reality, we accept reality, and it's all changeable. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. We can change the way we think. We can change the way we feel. We can change the way we speak. We can change the way we behave. I mean, are we clear? See, that's the positive side of living in a world where you know everything's impermanent, everything is made up of parts, everything. Oh, gee, I want to have a more positive mind. Got to create causes that, you know, positive mind. You know, if I look at my mind now and go, phew, what a negative mind I have. You know, I'm talking about not just how you act in public, but how you are inside your mind, you know, in the privacy. You might go, phew, what a cesspool of negativity. I better not let anybody in, you know. It's like, right? All right. But how did it become a cesspool of negativity? Causes and conditions. This is the way we've been thinking, blah, blah, blah. Okay? I wake up one day and go, I'm sick of this mind. Oh. You know, well, you can't shoot yourself. You can't, you know, get rid of your mind. But you can what? Begin to change, heal and transform. I can change this mind. Right? I can change the way I think, change the way I view. Learn to cultivate more wholesome mind states, more wholesome activities. Oh, then I'll feel differently. Oh, well, that's simple. What I used to think it was so difficult to change. What I used to think that I was the way I am. This is who, people say that all the time, right? Well, this is the way I am. I'm this kind of person. No, you're not. You weren't born that way. I mean, you didn't come out, you know, of your mother's body, you know, thinking the way you do. You didn't even think. You didn't even have a language. I mean, it's nonsense the way people talk. I know nobody here. I can say those things, but I know nobody in here would think that way. Yeah. Why are we the way we are? Because of causes and conditions. And most of us, because we believe we are victims of life, we have just gone along with things. And then we end up wherever we are thinking, oh, this is the way I am. I'm this kind of person. Right? But the truth is we're not this kind of person. We've become this kind of person. Is that clear? And we can become somebody else when we're clear, when we have a clear vision of who we want to be. Right, Zach? It's like, how do you want to show up in this life? Do you want to show up as an angry, despairing, hateful person? You see what I'm saying? We have to kind of think this way. I'm just kind of using you, but you understand. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? It's like, all of a sudden you go back and say, is that the way I want to show up in this life? Right? Or do I want to show up in a different way? Oh. You see? Oh. So now I'm clear. I want to stop supporting this way of thinking, and I want to start supporting this way of thinking. I want to begin to relate to people this way and not that way. You see? And it doesn't mean you can't be a change agent, but it's a different way of going about it. Yes, in the back. So. Okay. Mm-hmm. We only have a few minutes, so just, I'm not trying to rush you, but the kids are coming in, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see where you're going, and you're absolutely right. Yeah, I would not, Yeah, so do I. Yeah. Okay. So let me just, yeah, that's a good question. Thank you. So the answer is, well, I understand you, Fred, but, you know, there are people in this world and places in this world where to have this kind of discussion and this kind of objectivity would, you know, be very inappropriate, would almost be cruel. Yeah. So I would not, if I was in Syria, dealing with people who are refugees or being bombed, I would not be talking about this. I'd be saying, how can I help you? Is that clear? Yeah. Okay. So we are fortunate here, aren't we? And we need to be aware of how fortunate we are in this world. Most people don't have this kind of freedom, right? That we can sit here and sort of objectively look at our situation and really objectively think about alternative ways. You're absolutely right. Yeah, we are fortunate. In Buddhism, it's called the precious human birth. Not just being born a human being, but having this kind of opportunity and freedom. Right? There are places on earth where the suffering is so omnipresent, you know, this kind of discussion is irrelevant, if not cruel. Right? There are places in this world where just people to survive, right? You know, just take care of feeding themselves or finding housing or getting enough water, you know, is an endless struggle. Yeah. Right? You're absolutely right. But at the same time, here we are. And we have an opportunity, right? We are fortunate. We are fortunate that in our society, we live in a society where the extent of that kind of suffering, as of now, is not to that extent, right? Now, if you said to me, if somebody, and there may be people in this room, if somebody in this room was still deeply traumatized by things that have happened in the past, I would not have this discussion. I used to be actually a therapist, and I used to deal with people who were traumatized. But at a certain point, once the chronic suffering and pain was not so acute, I would want to help free them from carrying it around for the rest of their lives. Wouldn't you? Yeah, so that's what we're talking about. So that was a meaningful question. Yeah, here they come. So please stay with us. We have a very enjoyable time. There's been a children's program going on, but we've been in here having the adult program. It's up to who can decide which was the better program. And I assure you, they were not talking about this in that program. So they come in just for a few minutes. They share with us what they did. And then we all sing the Metta song, which is very relevant to what we're talking about today. And then we'll end in the next 10, 15 minutes. So thank you.